Hey gang, I just wanted to check in with you here before we started the show and remind you about Grand Con. Grand Con is a new gaming and comics convention that's being hosted in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Southwest Michigan, right here, our personal stomping grounds, and we are thrilled about it. They are going to have a ton of special guests and special events, and you can learn all about it by going to grand-con.com. That's grand-con.com. And don't forget that if you buy your badge in the month of May, you will be entered to win one of six prize packages valued at over $100. It's got a ton of cool stuff in it for local stores and things right here in Southwest Michigan. It is a great deal. It's going to be a great show. And Jason and I would really love it if you guys could come. We're going to be there. We're going to be doing some dumb stuff. It's going to be crazy. We can't wait. And now, on with the show. Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, May 6th, 2013, and this is episode 49. My name is Rob. You are listening to me and Jason.
Thanks for the big introduction there, pal.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, you were giving me a hard time before we started recording here, so I needed to give you one back while we were actually recording.
That's super professional of you. Thanks for that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that I look like the jerk.
Real professional show.
Being a jerk to
here.
You. Yeah. So what's new? What's going on?
What is new? Well, there've been some developments.
Oh.
With Snowball Fight.
Oh, okay.
We're not going to talk about them though yet.
Oh. You can't just tease it like
I'm
that.
I'm teasing everyone.
Teaser.
So, I believe we're moving forward with our efforts.
Oh, yeah? Oh, okay.
But some stuff's going to probably change.
Some adjustments?
So, yeah, some adjustments. Talked to some people. I've gotten some good feedback about ways I could adjust the game in light of the issues that we had previously.
Right.
And which was the fact that there's another game much like it.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think that it's going to work out.
Okay.
I am talking to an artist now.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out for sure what we're going to do.
Okay.
And, yeah, so I hope in the next episode or two, I'll be able to give you guys some real good information about what's going on with that.
Yeah, right on.
And, yeah, I'm pretty excited about
good.
It.
So, yeah, me too.
What about you?
Well,
what are you doing?
Frankenstein's Legacy continues to evolve.
That's cool.
Made a lot, you know, lots of, every time I think I'm on my fourth completely brand new, fully revised printed set.
That hurts with deck building.
Man, every time. And made some changes and I've managed to play test that set once and I'm already mixed, already ready. You're right there?
Sorry. I just shot the hook off the microphone thing, the holder.
Good job.
It happens.
Yep.
I don't know why you put that on my mic. You know I'm going to play
with it. Well, I had one too, but it broke because I was playing with it. Just mine broke months and months ago. Yeah. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. I've managed to play test the new set once, and I'm already ready to make a bunch of changes to it. But I finally kind of nailed down with this version, with this revision, nailed down a problem that I'm having that I need to come up with a solution to.
Yeah, I got it. Hit me. What's up?
It's kind of a fundamental problem here that you get about two-thirds of the way through the game, and you're in your final third of the game, and you don't want to buy any more cards.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you just want to get back to the cards that you have in your deck and use those to build your monster. You don't want to be buying crap out there. But the game is structured so that you have to, so that you should be buying that stuff on every turn. And if you don't want to do that, then what are you doing? You're just discarding stuff and drawing the next hand, then discard those and draw the next hand.
Why aren't people trashing more cards?
Well, because right now the only way to trash cards is to trash them when you're doing a test, and you don't necessarily always want to do a test. So one thing that I'd done in the last version of the game, the last revision, is that in all previous versions, my connector cards didn't have any special powers. They were just straight up connectors.
Okay.
In this most recent revision, I said, you know, that's a glaring difference.
Yeah.
And that feels weird.
The term you're looking for.
It wasn't working. I needed to put something in there. So I said, well, what if I allow people to manipulate their discard pile? So I wrote some clear kind of direct and strict rules on how you discard and what order when you're buying things, what order you put stuff in your discard pile. And then I made all the connector cards, or most of the connector cards, able to manipulate your discard pile. You can take the top card off. You can take any card from the middle of your discard pile and put it on top. You can reorder the top three cards in your discard pile. And I'm thinking that that would allow people to kind of manipulate that a little bit more.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But in practice, it didn't really work because we were having trouble getting, you know, we could get the card to move the card to the top of your discard pile, but you couldn't get that on the same hand as the card that would let you take something from the top of your discard pile.
Okay.
And then I put another card in there that allows you to hold one card over until the next turn. Instead of discarding at the end, you just set it aside and hold it to your next turn. But that also wasn't syncing up with other stuff. And so it just, and maybe that was just a bad shuffle or unfortunate shuffle. I need to playtest that some more, or maybe it just simply is flawed.
Mm-hmm.
So one other thought that I had is that what if I make, instead of allowing you to manipulate the order of your discard deck so much, you know, maybe make more cards able to take the top card from your discard, but also make connector cards able to trash cards. Give them the ability to let you trash, you know, discard this card to trash one card.
Okay.
You know, they put some of that stuff in there.
No, that's not a bad idea. I mean, I think, you know, one of the things with Dominion is you don't trash cards that often.
Yeah.
But
that's because there's pretty much always stuff out there you want to buy to get points.
Right. So I like that you have an opportunity to want to trash cards, a reason to really trash cards.
Because you really do.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think giving more opportunities for that's a great idea.
Yeah. So that's what I need to work on for my next revision. And I'm glad that because that has been an issue from the beginning, but it finally clicked for me that this is the problem that you get 2/3 through the game and you don't want to buy cards. You don't want to do that stuff anymore.
Right.
You want to just get through the cards you've already got. And that changes the focus of your gameplay.
And I certainly felt that way when I played. I mean, you're kind of like, I feel like I have everything I need.
Yeah.
And if I keep buying cards, I'm never going to get to it. Because I know that what I need is in my discard pile. And if I keep adding cards to that,
right,
I'm never going to get to those cards.
Yeah. So that's the next change, the next... I think that's going to be a pretty fundamental... shift there, and that could be really a pretty core piece of the strategy is knowing when to start, when to make that shift, at change in your approach and change in your what you're doing.
Right.
You know, changing from getting cards to getting rid of cards, so you can drill your deck down.
Kind of from knowing when to hold them to knowing when to fold them.
There you go.
One critique I think of this game is, you know, it kind of feels like sometimes you're just kind of like taking these ideas and just kind of stitching them together and trying to shock life into them. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Get it.
Yeah,
that's a joke.
Yeah,
it's like Frankenstein.
Yeah,
no, I'm super excited to play the game again. I was bummed we were supposed to be able to play last time when we got together and we ended up not being able to.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but yeah, so you know, it's amazing to me. It's really I look back at how much time and work I've put into this, and it's,
you're like, this better become a game.
Well, there's a little bit of that, but there's also just kind of this idea that it has changed so much from my original idea. And that it continues to change. That, I mean, I thought after so many months that I would kind of, I'd be done now, you know?
Right.
But no, far, far from it.
And that's what's tough with a deck building game is the revisions are so tough to make.
Yeah.
You know, like the one deck building game I'm working on that I haven't pitched yet, I intend fully to, I've already played through it once, to play through it again with slight tweaks to like, with just saying, okay, whenever you see a number, subtract one from it.
Sure,
like,
sure.
Because I don't want to print all the cards over again.
Yeah.
I would rather just try it because if I'm wrong, I'm going to have to reprint them again. So let's just, you know, go with that here.
Yeah. And I've tried to do that a little bit of handwriting or scratching stuff out, but ultimately I kind of just prefer to reprint the whole set every time just so it's cleaner.
Yeah.
And then when I put it in front of people, I don't have to say, pretend that doesn't say that, or pretend this one says that.
Right, right.
No, it's just, yeah.
Yeah, but, and with my game, it's different because my game's not really ready to put in front of different people now. Sure. It's ready to put in front of our close friends.
Yeah, so. Sure. Yeah, but so that's been the fun of recent efforts. What you been playing lately?
You know, lately I was stuck on my computer working on something, and I had to sit there, but I could use the computer for other stuff. And I hadn't played Portal in a long time. And, you know, when I pulled that back out, man, I desperately want to create, first of all, Portal. For anybody who hasn't played Portal, go play Portal.
Yeah.
It's really good. Yeah, after the show, sure. Download Portal, play it. You might be able to play it while you're listening to this show.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of Portal is you're this test subject who's working for this corporation, run by this mad computer, and the computer is crazy and hilarious, and the game is really funny, but the game is also very strategic. You've got this portal gun, and it allows you to shoot an orange portal and a blue portal. It doesn't matter which is which. All that matters is if you put an orange portal in one spot and a blue portal in another, you can pass through the blue portal, and boom, you're coming out the orange portal, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. They also do a lot with gravity effects. If you jump through a portal, you'll come flying out the other side, as as GLaDOS, the computer in the game, puts it. Speedy thing goes in, speedy thing comes out. Mm-hmm.
Yep, it's all about momentum and vectors and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yep, and it's a phenomenal game,
mm-hmm.
and I love the things you can manipulate with the portals. That you know, you can be standing in an area, and it can be this huge, like 2 football fields wide area with different things, and there's gross stuff you can't land on the bottom, and there's all these platforms and stuff,
yeah.
and you have access to every single piece by shooting portals, dropping through them, throwing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, gosh, man, what a great idea for a board game. For if you could have a way to alter movement on a board, mm-hmm. right, to where you are changing the way ins and outs go on a board game. Man, I'm going to try and work on something like that. That's my goal. I'm actually having ideas pop in my head right now. So as we're talking about it, it's really cool to me. And I really want to see if I can't try and transfer that over to board games. You know, that's something we like to try and do sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
right on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Portal's great. I'd only ever played Portal 2. Until just recently, I think I got the original Portal on Steam for like $2, and I only made it about halfway through, and I got distracted by BioShock, but I need to finish that. Yeah,
yeah, it's a lot of fun. Portal 2, I think, is a better game. There's more to mm-hmm. it, but Portal 2 is a better game if you've played Portal 1, because then you know the story from Portal 1.
Yeah, sure.
And it makes the story in Portal 2 a bit funnier.
Yeah, 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 but good. Yeah, Portal and Portal 2 are both excellent. Excellent games. And like I said, you can get, if you watch sales on Steam, you can get, I think both of them really cheap.
Yeah. 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 I mean, they're older games now. So
yeah.
Now they're just trying to sell extra copies.
Right. Yeah. Good stuff. It was anything else from you?
No. That was the big thing this week.
Well, I'm really, really happy because I finally got to play Drunk Quest.
Which was great because, let me just tell you guys, Rob has been bringing this to parties, to people's houses.
For months.
To yard sales.
Months.
And anywhere he can get together with people. He's like, can we play Drunk Quest or Bro Drunk Quest? And then it looks like it's going to happen, and then it doesn't.
And then let's go home instead.
And then he's so sad.
And then, you know, of the 6 people that are there, 3 of them go home.
Yeah. So, well, sorry, I was guilty that last time, but I had a kid, and he was tired. So.
Yeah, well... babies.
It was about playtesting that night.
I know.
Sorry.
Anyway, the good news, Drunk Quest is awesome.
Good.
It was super awesome. There were 4 of us playing, and everybody was kind of had a rotten week at work, and we were like, we were going to hang out tonight, but we kind of just want to get drunk. We were going to hang out and play games, but we just want to get just wasted. Let's play games and get wasted.
That game probably was helpful with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, we started the night by playing Frankenstein to do a playtest of that.
Oh, cool.
So we had started drinking while playing that. And so our number one and I think only mistake when playing Drunk Quest is that we started drinking before we started playing the game. Okay. That said, it was excellent. And I think the best thing that I can say about Drunk Quest is that I kind of want to play it again when I'm sober.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Even though it's kind of kills the whole point of the game. I kind of want to play it again because it's just a really fun take that kind of game. It's fun in all the ways that Munchkin is fun.
Right.
You know, only it requires you to drink in order to make that get even more right. fun as you keep on playing.
It's a lot like Munchkin, except for you're taking drinks to give yourself bonuses instead of rolling dice.
Yeah, right, right. So the structure of the game, there are three decks of cards. There are your character cards, and everybody has to randomly draw a character card. There are treasure cards, and treasures are basically, they'd probably be more appropriately called action cards or ability cards. They let you you play a treasure card in order to have some effect on the game. They're not like treasures that you gain for points. And then there are monster cards. So at the start of a round, it has this kind of this neat round robin structure to it, where let's say there's four of us playing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm player one, you're player two, and then we have three and four. Okay. I'm player one. I'm going first. I start the game. Everybody starts with three treasure cards in their hand. When I go first, I draw the top monster card and put it down in front of me on the table. Okay. That's my monster. That monster is attacking me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now we are all a party, but that monster is attacking me.
Right.
Right. That monster has two numbers on it. He has a drink value and a treasure value. The drink value is how many drinks you have to take in order to kill that monster.
Right.
When the treasure value is, it says, after I kill that monster, I get to draw that many treasure cards. Okay. So I put that monster card down in front of me, and then I have two choices. I can either play a treasure card from my hand, which will affect the monster in some way or affect the gameplay in some way. Or I can use my hero's power, my character power. All right. And so let's say I put down a treasure card that says move the monster to any other player.
Okay.
Okay. And I move the monster. I put that down. So, he's not attacking me anymore. Now he's attacking player three.
Okay.
All right. Then now my turn's over and now it goes to you because you're to my left. So you then put down a card that says that it takes an extra five drinks to kill that monster.
Okay.
All right. So now that monster's drink value has gone from four to nine. All right. Okay. So then now it's player three's turn. Player three has his monster in front of him. He's like, oh, crap. But guess what? I have a treasure card that also lets me move the monster. So I'm going to move the monster right back to Rob.
Okay.
And I go, oh, crap. That's terrible. And then player four, it's his turn, and he has a treasure card that says, and that this card eliminates any treasure bonus that you're going to get.
Ooh, bummer.
Okay, yeah. So now it's back to me. So we've made one full circuit around the board. I get one more turn, one more chance to do something.
Okay, I like that. Yeah.
Okay, so I can, once again, if I haven't already used my character power, I can use my character power, or I can play an action card from my hand. And so now I have this one last card that I've been holding on to. And what it says is that I can play this card where it makes everyone else drink and not me.
Okay, okay. Okay? Yep.
Or it might be it cuts in half the number of drinks, or it doubles the amount of treasure that I get, or whatever it might be. Okay,
right.
There are all kinds of. I maybe removes all status effects from the table. Maybe it automatically kills the monster. Maybe it allows me to level up more.
Okay.
After I kill a monster.
Yeah.
Okay, and I really like that structure. It's a very, very simple structure. The idea that that's a whole turn. A whole turn goes around the whole table once.
And then the first person goes last.
Exactly. Yeah. So then on turn two, it would move to you. You would be player one and we would go around again. Okay. So everybody has a chance to drink a monster, and attack a monster. Oh, also when you successfully kill a monster, you level up and the game ends when somebody reaches level six.
Okay.
Which is actually pretty funny because that's a reference to a stand-up comedy bit, yes, by Larry Miller.
There are six levels of drinking.
Actually, he only has five.
That five levels, six if you're in a trailer park, but five for our purposes today. Yeah, no, I know.
Okay, good.
Punch the guy at the end of the bar just because you don't like the way he looks.
Yeah. It's a good bit.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah. It's a simple approach. It's like we said, heavy, heavy, heavy on the take that. And I really like that whoever that player one is, they get to go twice.
Right.
You know, because that turns a simple chaotic mess into a real opportunity for some strategy.
Right. And you, Yeah, the active player goes twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I like that. And so I thought we would turn that into our mechanic of the week tonight.
Okay.
Okay. That whole, well, we can call that the active player gets the last, we call it the last word.
Okay.
You know, yeah, last word mechanic, you know?
Yeah.
So where else have we seen that?
I feel like this is a test.
I'm not familiar with it. I hadn't encountered that.
No,
before.
I mean, I've, no. I mean, there are a lot of games where you go back and forth, right? But
yeah,
the idea that the active player gets to go twice,
mm-hmm.
because it's basically the active player gets two turns is what happens.
Yeah. Right. And everybody else, only
and
gets
that's,
one.
That's very powerful to have.
It sure is. Yeah. Depending on what cards you got in your hand or what abilities you...
Munchkin doesn't have that?
I don't think so. I haven't played Munchkin in a really long time.
Because if I can remember correctly, Munchkin is a free-for-all.
I think it is,
like,
yeah.
I'm like, all right, I'm playing. And people are like, no, now he's bigger. Now the monster can know. So I have a feeling this, because they're hoping to reach more people with this, because it's a drinking game, right?
Yeah.
They wanted it to be a little more simplified. So,
definitely.
So instead of having it be a free-for-all, mm-hmm. like Munchkin is, where basically you can have the last word... Right, if you're the active player, but so could anyone else.
Yeah.
They're making it so, okay, everyone gets to go, then you go again. I mean, it's kind of simplifying what already was a mechanic, you know what I mean? Kind of a free-for-all mechanic.
Right.
Yeah, I really like that. I think
I like
that
it too.
There are some good opportunities. Games with take that really does add an extra layer of strategy
sure
to be able to have
sure
that ability to go one more time.
So you're saying, am I really going to make the effort to screw with Jason when he's going to have the opportunity? I mean, he already did something else, and I dodged a bullet there, but now I can do something to him. He's going to have one more chance to take it, you know,
well,
get revenge on me.
You know, the instance where you're talking about is a great fake out, right? Because
the
first card you play assigns the monster to someone else,
right?
Which kind of makes it look like you made a bad move. Because why would you do that?
Well, you just want to get that. I don't want to take those drinks.
Oh, I know. But I mean, knowing you're going to get to go again,
that's
giving people the chance to react.
Yeah.
Now, in one turn, it made somebody waste their turn because instead of making it more tough,
mm-hmm.
they instead pushed it to you.
Yeah.
And then you could, knowing you could react.
Yeah.
You know, and actually for a drinking game, that adds a lot of strategy.
It sure does. Our first round was like, oh, man. It's a game. It's actually a game. It's not just an excuse to drink a lot.
Well, and for you to say that you played the game while drinking and now you'd really like to come back and play it not drinking.
I just played again, yeah.
That's a good sign about it being a good game.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm trying to think of a way to work that into, like, picking a game and trying to figure out a way to work that in. You know, You know, something that might be interesting, say a game like Risk, right? Where, you know, you've got your turn order selected, right? So I'm going to go first. But at the end of the turn, after everyone else attacks, I get to go one more time.
Mm-hmm.
Then it passes to the next. Well, but see, is that really... That's not really any different because, you know, in a normal... It's got to be a game where you're playing separate rounds.
Yeah.
Because in a game like any game where it's just a regular turn-based round robin...
Yeah.
You always reset to the next player anyways. So really, it's no different. Unless you got to go twice in a row, which doesn't even make sense in a game like Risk. But
no.
It really has to be a game that involves turn-based, round-based. Like, so there's a round, that round is over, new round.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
trying to think of other games that could be pasted onto... If that might make any difference.
No, that's my idea. You know, and it really has to be a game where you're, where there's direct take that action.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, why not make the move first? You know what I mean? Otherwise, why not just take the good move first?
Right.
It's really got to be a game where you're fighting with each other.
Mm-hmm. Or you expect somebody to mess with you.
Right.
You know, so maybe you make a conservative move to start with and you save your big ha-ha for after everybody else has had the chance.
Right. You know, this actually could be applicable for somehow for a trick-taking game, maybe?
Maybe.
Where, you know, because each hand, you know, each round you're playing to take tricks,
mm-hmm.
If you're like the dealer, say, in that round, and you get to go twice,
mm-hmm.
that would certainly, could certainly give you an advantage depending on, You know what I mean? What, for instance, take a game like Euchre. I know you hate Euchre, but take a game like Euchre. If I could play the first card, right? Somehow I get dealt an extra card, right?
Okay.
For that hand. Whoever the dealer is gets an extra card. Everybody else gets five, I get six. Because there's enough cards to do that in Euchre.
Sure.
So, yeah, I know that wouldn't work because you play multiple times around. But I was just thinking of the idea, like, you know, you could play, right? And I could draw out, like I could play Trump, right? So I draw that out. And then when it gets back to me, I can play the bingo card that I know is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But I've managed to make everyone think they had a chance to win. And, you know, so that's a bad example for a game, but that's a definite way that you could use it.
Could do that. I don't know that that would really add anything to it, though. I don't think that would make the game any better.
No, I'm not saying it would. I'm saying trick-taking games in general, I think there might be a slot that you could affix that to, maybe. Yeah. So, gosh, I'm, you know, I think some sort of, if you were trying to do some sort of fighting game, that could work very well.
Oh, that's a good idea.
You know, because if it's a fighting game where you're trying to win rounds,
it really is kind of tied closely to that when you're trying to be antagonistic to the other players.
Right.
Yeah, fighting game. Okay. All right.
For instance, maybe if you've got a fighting game, a turn-based fighting game, where, you know, each round a different person gets to be the attacker, right?
Yeah.
So whoever acts first also acts last, right? So that would give you a chance to set up some sort of trick to knock
a faint
person. Yeah, like a feint or a right. rope-a-dope or something like that, you know?
A bar brawl. And each player is, three to eight players or whatever, and everybody is a big barroom fight, you know, at the local country and western bar. And so every round, you play it like that. You know, you play one card, do it for what you're going to do or who you're going to attack, and maybe two cards that you target. I don't know, whatever. But yeah, what about that?
And at the end, you know, you get to go one more time. Yeah. Right. I mean, we're basically mimicking Drunk Twist there.
Yeah, well, but no, see, okay, then what you would do is you would throw down a target card. Or you know, the monkey in the middle card, or I don't know, whatever. The person who's it would be, you know, the person who's attracting all the attention on this round. Everybody's going to beat on them. Right. And if they can push that off to somebody else, then that other person's going to get beat on that turn. And so, you know, it is still kind of the same game. I wonder if there's ways to...
what about a game like that? Remember Cash and Guns?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody points the guns at each other, right?
Yeah.
Everybody points the guns, and then you get to play your cards. But see, I was gonna say, what if one player each turn, the active player, say, got to adjust at the end?
Well, one of the cards lets you change who you're pointing at because you put your card down first, right? When you're playing Cash and Guns, you put the card down. You pick what card you're gonna play. You put that down, and you go 1, 2, 3, draw, and everybody points the cards. And depending on, there is a card that lets you, if when you turn that over, you can choose to change your target if you want to.
Okay.
Yeah. There's bang and bang, 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 and duck and change. I think those are the different cards in that.
Right. Yeah, see, it's tough to think of a game specifically without just trying to think of a new idea for one because it really does just kind of tie in to...
Right.
It's got to be a game with Take That that's turn-based. Mm-hmm. I mean, sorry, round-based. Mm-hmm. So where, you know, you complete actions in a round, stop, and then someone new starts the new round.
Right. Interesting. I think it's a neat idea, though. I think it's something for us to remember for the future.
Yeah. It would definitely be worthwhile to put into another game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, what if you're doing a role selection game?
Okay.
And one of the roles got to take two turns that turn.
Mm. Or the player one gets two roles in that round.
Yep, that's true, too. So you pick two roles. Right. One of them stays hidden until it's your second turn, and you flip it over, and you... Yeah. Yeah, that could work as well.
Yeah.
So...
Okay. Interesting. All right, well, anyway, the first player gets the last word. That's what we can call that.
Yes.
First player gets the last word.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's move on.
Let's
move on to our segment called Practicing the Pitch.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And it's your turn this week?
Why, yes, sir, it is.
Yes. What you got?
All right, so we're in another unique situation here where this game I designed a couple months back, and I've been have a prototype for a couple months now and been playing said prototype for a couple months.
Yeah.
Played it several times now. The game has went through some huge changes to the point where I'm not even going to pitch the original idea. I mean, I'm just going to pitch the current game.
Fair enough.
Because it's so different, and there were so many flaws with the first batch that I just don't think it's even worthwhile. But I'm acknowledging that it has changed greatly.
Might I ask you, when you're done with the pitch of its current status, can you take us through some of the changes that you made once you're done?
Yes, I can do that.
That'd be great. So we can just kind of see how that evolved or hear how that evolved.
Right, right. Now, the game is called Freaky Tiki. We've talked about it on the show before. Now, I'm going to warn you that the game is not complicated. It's pretty easy to learn and it's pretty easy to play. It's extremely hard to pitch said game without visual references. So I'm going to do my best here. It's going to sound incredibly complicated. It's not. But it just is kind of difficult to work through. I've tried to practice this pitch on my own a couple times in practicing for the show.
Yeah.
And I keep running into issues. So we're just going to go with it. And of all the people that have playtested, I don't think you've actually playtested it.
I did one. I think I did your second ever playtest, and we weren't able to finish.
Right, right, right. And now the game is completely different. So,
yeah, totally different game now.
So Rob will be no help. That's useful. And also, that's usual.
That's the way it goes.
Anyways. Okay, so Freaky Tiki. The setup for this game is that you are on a mythical Eastern Polynesian island, and the chief on that island, Chief Mogumaki, has just passed away, and he was a great chief, and everybody loved him.
He was the best, wasn't he?
He was the best.
Man, I was so fond of him.
But now the four players, because this is a four-player game, right now four-player only, the four players have all decided they want to be the new chief. And now they're going to vie to become the new chief. The first person to get 15 votes in the game will become the new chief, and the game, and they'll win the game. It's pretty exciting. Now, so vote the votes. Now, the way to get the votes, there's a few different ways, actually. So I'm going to start with the simple way, which is you want to impress the tribe. You want the tribe to vote for you.
Sure.
To get the tribe to vote for you, you're going to perform feats of greatness. And those are things like killing a shark or climbing the cliffs of doom or entering the cave of Moamoa, I think is what it's called. Mm-hmm. You're doing these things that people are afraid to do, and when you do them, some of the tribe members say,
it's very impressive.
I'm going to vote for that guy.
Yeah.
So to every feat of greatness has a difficulty rating on it that ranges from 8 all the way up to 14. And that range, what happens within that range is more difficult, the more reward. So the more tribe members that will vote for you. And those tribe members can go from 1 tribe member all the way up to 5 tribe members. Now, there are 4 of those every turn that can be achieved. 4 feats of greatness. They get laid out on the table. And in order, the players will go on an attempt to achieve them.
Okay.
When one is achieved, it's taken away. It is not replaced. There's a chance the last player could get totally hosed and not get to even try. Doesn't happen very often because they're hard to achieve.
Sure.
So, but I have seen it happen where one player sweeps all 4. And, yeah. So, follow me so far still?
I sure am, yep.
All right, so next step, to accomplish these feats of greatness, you have a D6 that you roll that you get to add to your score to try and accomplish these. But you also have a deck of cards. These action cards, they're called mojo cards. And the mojo cards give you bonuses to achieving these feats, right?
Sure.
Anywhere from a +1 to a +5. And you can play, you get 5 cards dealt to you at the beginning of the game.
Uh-huh.
At any given turn, you can play as many of them as you want. You can just play all of them. At the end of the turn, you're going to draw 2 cards. So you burn all your cards, you draw 2 cards, that's all you got the next round. Now you don't have to play any, you're still going to draw 2, all the way up to 5. You get to 5, you stop drawing.
Okay.
So if you see something like, oh gosh, that's 5 villagers, I really want that. I'm going to blow all my cards to try and hit that 14 score to get to it.
Okay.
Okay. So that's kind of the main gist of a round. You've got these cards, you do that. Now, there are a lot of things that alter that. And the tribe votes, we'll get back to those. They aren't as great as they sound.
okay.
So the game also uses roll selection pretty heavily.
Yeah.
At the beginning of every round, there are 6 tiki masks. They're all unique, and they all have a unique variable player power for that round. What they do is, You're gonna take those six cards. You're gonna deal one out face down, away, like you're throwing it away, discarding it.
Okay.
Then you're gonna deal the rest into a pile. The rest, the last five cards, and you're gonna pass those to the first player. That player is gonna look through those, and he's going to pick one card that he thinks is gonna help him. Put it down. And it's just like Citadel style. It goes through the rest of the way. The last person gets two cards. They ditch one face down.
Mm-hmm.
They keep the other. When the player, it's time for the player to use that card that they want to use,
mm-hmm.
they would reveal it. But until they reveal it, you have no idea what mask they have. So what do the masks do? Well, one of them is called the Mask of Mojo. And that gives you +4 mojo to your rolls that turn, which is a big deal. +4 is a lot.
Sure.
And you can use it on every single feat. So basically, you could take four rolls and you could ace every single one of them.
Mm.
It doesn't happen very often.
Sure.
Statistics are not in your favor, but you could try.
Sure.
And there's no reason not to try. That was one of the hardest things I had getting through to players was you might as well try.
Yeah.
There's the Mask of Energy. And what the Mask of Energy does is it says at the end of your turn, you're going to draw back to 5 cards.
Mm.
So that's a great one to have. You have a good hand. You blow the whole hand, and then knowing at the end you're going to get the cards back. Or you only have 2 cards, you're not drawing them fast enough. So you spend those 2 cards, you know you're going to get 5 back at the end of the round. Still following me?
Yep.
Now, some of the other masks do things like allow you to determine how the tribe is going to vote. Like, so you're going to get an extra 2 tribe votes. Like, that turn, boom, I'm going to get 2 more tribe votes.
Okay.
Okay. So the voting. Now, what's going to happen at the end of any given round is the players are actually going to vote secret ballot style. Everybody's got little markers that have all the players except for themselves in it. So player one would have tokens that say player two, player three, player four, and around the table as it goes, right?
Sure.
So as player one, I'm going to look and I'm going to decide which player I want to vote for, which player I think should be the chief. Well, obviously the answer is none of those players should be chief. I should be chief. That's mm-hmm. the whole point of the game.
But you can't vote for yourself. But
you can't vote for yourself. So what happens is you're looking, wow, Jason's got 5, you know, Jason's got 5 tribe votes this turn. I'm not going to vote for him. I'm going to vote for Rob, who only got 1. So Jason's ahead right now, so let's vote for Rob. What ends up happening is, and the game ends up auto-balancing itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because when somebody's losing, you tend to vote for them because they're not as much danger to win.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But you don't know who everyone else is voting for. So now suddenly everybody voted for Rob except for Rob. And now Rob just got 3 more points. So the votes are separated into some kind of different things. Player votes are permanent. When you get a vote from a player, it's an orange cube. That orange cube goes on your voting track, and it lasts forever.
Okay.
Tribe votes are different. When those green cubes, the tribe votes get put out there, you put the 5, we'll say, tribe votes, or let's say 6, it makes it a little cleaner. You've got 6 tribe votes. For every 3 tribe votes you have at the end of the round,
mm-hmm.
they convert to elder votes. What happens is elder votes are also permanent. So if this round I got 6 tribe votes, right? At the end of the round, those 6 go away and they're replaced with 2 elder votes.
Mm.
So what's happening is I just have to hit 15 during the round.
Okay.
And since the last thing that happens at the end of the round is I lose my tribe votes and they convert,
mm-hmm.
as long as I touch 15, then I win. And this kind of is a callback to splitters.
And kind of you banking these points.
Yeah, you had your soft points and hard points. Right. So what happens is the farther you get into the game, the more likely that someone could hit the top score and automatically win.
Sure.
Now, there's also a mask that allows you to remove 2 votes, player votes.
Mm-hmm.
So I can remove 2 orange cubes. Now, the elder votes are 100% permanent. When you convert to an elder vote, no one can ever touch that.
Mm.
And that's to make it so the game can't go forever.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of like every round is a big popularity contest, and the villagers are fickle, and they change their minds on a whim based on who did the most impressive thing recently.
Exactly.
But the elders, they know they're a little more liable, and they keep track of who's really impressive.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
So that's mostly the game there.
Okay.
I actually get that one a little better than I thought it was going to.
Yeah, no, that works. Yeah.
Complexity wise. Probably because mm-hmm. I've practiced it enough.
Yeah. And that is significantly different than the version that I played initially.
Yeah, so the original version, everyone could vote for even themselves.
Yeah.
And the catch was, you only needed to win 5 rounds of voting. And that was, so the original game, you have the players could vote, the tribe would make one unanimous vote. There was 20 tribe members. They would get together and they would pick one person to vote for.
Yeah.
And you could use a mask to determine how the majority of the tribe voted.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of that strategy was you were winning tribe members to your team, basically. And that allowed you to control how they voted. It got a little complex because it was like, wait, how many do you have? How many do I have? What is that?
Sure.
And the idea was that if everyone voted for themselves, if there was ever a tie for the top vote getter, what would happen is the tribe would get disillusioned and they would get a vote. And if the tribe won five rounds of voting, just like if a player did, the game ends, everybody loses.
Right.
And I ran a couple play tests. This first one I ran, that did not, that was not an issue. The second one I ran, that was not an issue. Third one I ran, wiped the board clean. The tribe won every time. And what was interesting about this was these were four people that did not know each other, had never played a game together before in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no cooperation through no fault of their own. They didn't, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Where all the other playtests I had done had been with friends who I knew, and you kind of knew what they might do, right?
Right.
And that got concerning to me.
Sure. You want just people to be able to sit down and play your game.
Right. I mean, the game went in the exact, like, the that, you know, when you sit down with a game as a game designer, you're like, what's the worst thing that could happen with this game? Oh, well, that's it. And that's what happened in a playtest with strangers. And I was kind of like, oh, gosh. I mean, I to the point where I was like, I might have to just throw this game away. Like, this isn't good. And you were with me there. And we drove home from Grand Rapids together, because that's where we'd been. And we talked about it. And that's where I started to settle in on this new idea of permanent points. That, you know, the idea that you were voting, trying to get to a higher number.
Right.
And that you couldn't vote for yourself. And, yeah, so it's a pretty fun game. I'm interested to try it again. I've made some more tweaks to it.
Okay.
And I'd like to give it a try. The last game that I played with it, it was very, very evenly matched.
Okay.
In the last round, three of four players had a chance to win.
Oh, wow.
In the
last round. That's exciting.
Yeah, my wife actually won. And if she hadn't won, your wife would have won.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was literally that close.
Yeah. Like,
we realized at the end of the round, if she hadn't won, then your wife would have won. And, and I had a chance to win, but I just didn't have enough cards to do it that turn. And the other guy, he could have probably won a turn after that. So one of the tweaks I made because of that was that mask that allowed you to get rid of two votes used to only allow you to get rid of one. And literally for the entire game, nobody took the mask. Zero people took the mask. Which means that it's not worthwhile, right?
Yeah.
If nobody's
interested in that.
Right. So I thought if you could take away two votes, it's got a little more clout. It's got a little more power.
For sure.
And a little more usable that way.
Okay. Yeah, I would very much like to try that again. It sounds like all the changes make for a much better game, for a tighter experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a game I'm going to keep pursuing.
Yeah.
I'm pretty happy with it so far.
Mm-hmm.
And
Freaky Tiki.
Freaky Tiki.
Right. Named for the Polynesian islands where these villagers live.
Yes.
And the tikis that they carve there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's just all kinds of fun artwork options and potentials, too. Yeah. You know, those masks and tikis and palm trees and people in grass skirts and on and on and all that silly stuff.
Yep.
Cool. I'm down.
Thank you.
I'm down. Good stuff.
All right.
Yeah. Is that all we got here?
That is all we got.
All right.
But we do have some, I think we have some comments we could read, and we also have some Twitter questions.
I think we sure do, yeah.
So these comments that you're about to pull up are from iTunes, and we actually have never read these on the air. I don't know why we haven't.
I think we just kind of forgot that they were there.
Yeah, we're kind of like bad podcast hosts sometimes.
We are. We ask for 5-star reviews on iTunes, and then we forget to read them.
Right, but we thank you for them.
We thank you indeed, and we will read them now. All right, we have several of these here because, like we said, we were slacking. The first one, I think we'll keep the names to ourselves because I don't know if any of these IDs are private or anything. The first quote is, "Good ideas being passed around and fun games discussed. If you ever imagined creating your own game, you'll like this podcast for sure. Keep it up, guys. Looking forward to more." Thank you very much. That was a good one. Next one here. "Great intro music, and the guys know what they're talking about." Actually, I think that intro music was our old music, because this is an old comment.
Yes.
Which was good music.
They might still like the new one, too.
Yeah, I hope that they do, because we own the new stuff. The old stuff was borrowed. "You can tell they love games. Their show has a great conversational vibe to it. It's like you were having lunch with good friends. Great concept to document the creative process of creating a game, starting with just the first seed of an idea. I haven't really heard that as a premise of a podcast show before. It's going to be fun to hear what happens. So like we said, this is one of our earliest reviews, and that was a nice one. So far, I hope we've lived up to those expectations. Next one. I feel like the forum. I like the format and the ideas, but sometimes it feels too off the cuff.
Boy, I hear you, man.
Yeah, guilty. I hear you. Guilty, guilty, guilty.
You should hear the unedited version of the show. It's not just off the cuff. It's like off the chain.
Okay. Next up. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and this one is my favorite. I love the thoughtfulness of it, the way you can drift off during an episode because of something that was said and have to rewind a bit to get back to where you were. Rob and Jason are likable, affable, thoughtful, and passionate, and they like beer. We do like beer. Funny, though, the last guy said we are sometimes too off the cuff, and this guy said he likes that we're off the cuff sometimes.
It's because to each his own. So,
yeah,
you know,
hey, there you go. Next, we have building the game provides great insight into the design process. Budding designers should follow Rob and Jason and see what it takes to publish a quality board game.
That was nice.
Yeah, very nice.
I mean, we still haven't published a board game.
No, not
a
single one.
A quality one.
We're working on it, though.
We're working on it.
We're trying. A unique board game podcast. Great discussion about game mechanics and pitching new games, which leads to good discussion about those pitched games. So, yeah. Cool. Thank you. Okay, last one on here. I like the free association about each other's games. I would like to pitch the idea of an aspiring game designer being on your show. That person is Chris Hammond. Keep up the fun. Chris is a friend of mine up in Grand Rapids. So
we at least know why we got a good rating on that one.
Yeah.
Chris, but looking through this list,
yeah.
We don't know a lot of these people. Actually, I mean, looking through this list, I know a lot of these listener names.
Right. But, we have come to know some of these people thanks to the show.
Not people that we knew beforehand. So that feels good, right?
Yeah, that's great. So thank you guys for those reviews. Now, I mean, we have several ratings. Not all of them led to comments, but if you would like to leave us a review on iTunes, regardless of the score, I mean, we hope that it's a 5-star review, but regardless of the score, we promise we will read it on the show.
Yep. Yeah, we will, because we really want input. I mean, the whole point of this show is to get better at this show and also to be helpful to you guys. So if we're not being helpful, we need to know.
Right.
You know?
Right. And we apologize for being slow and not reading these earlier. It just hit us last week. We're like, oh, holy cow, we have iTunes reviews that we haven't even read.
And so. We had read them. We just had never read them on the show.
Right. Yeah. So thank you to you guys for sharing those with us. And
we also have a couple Twitter questions that got sent in to us.
Yep.
Sorry, we didn't get to those on the last episode like we hoped because we had some other stuff to go through. So we're going to read those to you guys right now.
Go.
All right. I will read you the first one and you can read the second one.
Sure.
So the first one is from our friend Danny Devine. And he wanted to know, how much of our personal time do we invest in the show? Is it more or less than we thought it would be when we started? That is a great question.
It is an excellent question.
Well thought out, sir.
Well, I will say a little bit more of my personal time than I expected.
I would back that up, yeah.
Yeah. And for me, because I've had to learn a lot about audio. I've had to learn a lot about audio, and I still don't know everything. I certainly don't pretend to be a master or to be a recording artist at this point. But I had to learn a lot about software, what kind of stuff to use, about the equipment that we need to plug into the machine. That's just producing the podcast. Never mind all the time and energy that's been put into actually trying to make some games.
Right. Now, granted, that's something that would happen without the show.
Oh, sure.
But certainly, you know, the fire has have been lit for us.
The show's a motivator for us.
By the show, yes. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why we do the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the show keeps us accountable and helps us and helps us do stuff while helping other people, hopefully.
Right.
So I would back you up, though. I think it takes a little more time than I originally had thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but one of the things on that subject, because I don't want to make it sound like a downer, like, oh, it takes way more time than we thought. It does, however, it's also more fun than I thought it would be, you know?
I agree.
Almost a year into this, and I'm still having even more fun than I had when we started.
I still look forward to recording. Every time we get together, I'm looking forward to it all day, and I'm happy to do it.
Yep.
Every
me
time.
Me too.
Yeah. So more work than we planned, but more fun and more rewarding than I think than we planned also.
Yeah, definitely.
More than we'd hoped.
Right.
Yeah. Our other question here is from a friend of the show and co-host of Flip the Table, Mr. Flip Flory. He says, he actually has two questions in one. First of all, he says, Dice Towers, yay or nay?
So here's the thing. I think Dice Towers are pretty. I think they're kind of cool when they're done well.
Right.
To me, nothing would be better than physically rolling dice with my hands.
Yeah.
I just like that. Mm-hmm. I love the way Dice Towers look, though. Mm-hmm. I love looking at those at Gen Con at the tables where people have crafted them.
Yeah.
I would never use one.
I made my own dice tower, handcrafted in my garage out of wood.
It was very nice.
And I'm very, very happy with it. I was very proud of myself for the craft project. I enjoy woodworking. I don't know if anybody out there realizes that. Probably not. I don't think I've talked about that much.
You have a couple times.
A little bit. Okay. I really enjoy woodworking carpentry. And so I spent several days last summer in my garage making a dice tower. It was one of the most rewarding projects I've ever undertaken. Never used it in a single game ever.
Yeah, you did.
Did I?
Yeah, you used it when you were DMing for us that 4th edition game.
Oh, I guess I did. But only because I felt like I had to.
Well, you know, I would say that the one time I would consider using a dice tower would be as if I was running a game. Because I feel less connected to the rolls and less concerned about the rolls.
Well, sure.
I can see that. I'm rolling for my character, I want full control over those dice.
Okay, fair enough.
So,
yeah. So I generally don't prefer to use one, but I'm glad that I have one. Just in case. It looks decent on the shelf, too. The second half of his tweet, he says, how much trebuchet is too much trebuchet?
There's never too much trebuchet.
Yeah, I gotta agree. I love...
If you don't know what a trebuchet is, go to Wikipedia, look it up.
Look it up,
It's awesome.
Yeah, you can never have too much trebuchet. Because it's awesome. So, yeah. More trebuchet.
Most definitely.
Mm-hmm. More cowbell? No, more trebuchet.
Yes. It's like the medieval version of cowbell.
It is.
Except for it's a weapon of death.
Right.
So.
Yeah. But we don't want to spoil it. Look it up on Wikipedia. Yeah. You'll love it.
It's pretty awesome.
Okay, that's all we got?
I think that is all we got.
All right, that's all we got. Thank you once again, everyone, for listening to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. We appreciate it very, very much. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email. Our email address is buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com. You can also leave a comment on our website, which is buildingthegamepodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at podcastbtg. I am at poorly_designed, and Jason is at J.A. Slingerland. You can like us on Facebook, and if we can get to those 100 likes that we promised, extra special gift. Snowball Fight Print and Play. You know you want it. I want it. Let's do it. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, and if you put some text in there, we promise we'll read it on the show. What have I forgotten? Did I hit all the points?
You hit all the high points.
I hit all the high points. Knocked them down.
Like pins in a bowling alley.
Aw, yeah. Thank you very much, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Good night.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios.
All the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are the property of the Building the Game podcast.
Next time on Building the Game.
Originally it was Freaky Tiki's, but I like Freaky Tiki better. So it sounds like Freaky Deaky.